Good morning, everybody. I am Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on December 14th, 2021. It's a pleasure to have you here today, or perhaps you're listening on the archives. That's just fine with us. We know a lot of people do, with nature of podcasting. And we archive everything over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. You'll see an icon for a podcast, okay? And we just changed our website. The look of our websites on the podcasts are more easily listed up on the homepage. ace-ed.org is the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education. We try to do a good job all about equity and access, and as such, we publish an online journal, and a new issue just came out. It's a lovely issue. I hope you go over there, check it out. The magazine is called Equity and Access, and you'll be able to click right through on the cover icon you'll see on the homepage at ace-ed.org. And you can also link to our new website, which is just now starting to percolate and grow. It looks pretty good. It's called seltoday.org, seltoday.org. It's obviously about social emotional learning, which is so darn important in school districts these days. And we just got to communicate that to everybody about what it is and how it works and how we're doing it. And we're getting that together. So it's all good stuff. And I hope everybody goes over and sees what we do at ace-ed.org. Today's show, I've got two good superintendents from both Wichita Falls, Texas, and Fargo, North Dakota, you betcha. Sorry about that, Corey. Are you there? Sorry, I had to do that. I'm sorry. Okay, blame the Cohen brothers, not me. There's nothing I can do about it. We're going to talk about early learning, you betcha. All right, and are you a Fargoite, Corey Steiner?
I am. I live in Fargo, and yeah, even though we always say that movie took place in Minnesota, the you betcha says are still part of our part of who we are.
Yeah, it is. And by the way, your accent, I don't know how you're able to imitate the movie, but it sounds fabulous.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And by the way, I don't have a Philadelphia accent. I don't know if you can hear that. I just say coffee, like C-A-W. Okay. Corey Steiner, superintendent of Fargo, North Dakota. Welcome. Actually, I'm going to explain this to him. I'll bring my Kurt on in just a minute. Corey, I have here Northern Cross School District. Is that different from Fargo? I may have introduced you improperly. Yeah, no.
I'm the superintendent of the Northern Cass School District. We're about 25 miles outside of Fargo, a district of about 700 learners.
Okay, and I have the word Northern Cross. Is that correct?
Yeah, Cass, Northern Cass.
Spell it.
C-A-S-S.
What does that mean?
It's from Cass County. It was the person who founded the county years and years ago. So we have a Central Cass School District, Northern Cass, and then we have the metro area in Fargo with multiple school districts.
Thank you for explaining all that. This is Northern Cass, of Cass County, North Dakota. Being a East Coaster living in Maine from Philly, I'm not familiar with North Dakota a county setup, but in geography. So thank you. It's a pleasure to have you here, my friend. All right. Mike, Wichita Falls, Kansas. That's easier. I know where that is. I can't believe it's in Kansas. Texas. I was thinking Wichita, Kansas. I apologize. Forgive me, Texas.
That's not a problem at all.
Wow. You know? So why did you try to trick me? Why did they name it Wichita Falls and not put it in Kansas?
Why? Because we're not in Kansas.
Anymore. Okay.
Ever.
Okay. I like it. Okay. Is there waterfalls there? I never even know. I've had Wichita Falls on the show before. Is there actual falls there?
Yes.
Like waterfalls?
We have the Wichita River flows through Wichita Falls and flows into the Red River on the Texas-Oklahoma border. And years ago, we had falls that were right outside of town, and there was a massive flood. We're talking like in the 40s, I believe. A massive flood kind of destroyed the falls, and now there are some recreated man-made falls right off the highway.
That's
so, yes, you can't miss it.
I am learning an awful lot about Texas and North Dakota geography here, and Mike Kurt is the superintendent at Wichita Falls. All right, Mike, I'm going to let you start. Tell us about your school district. Before we get into early learning, tell us about your school district. Feel free to brag.
Okay. Well, I consider ourselves to be an urban-rural school district. We are 14,000 students, about 2,000 staff members, 2.5 hours northwest of Dallas, so towards the Texas Panhandle. We have a community of about 100,000 people. We're the central hub for a lot of shopping and healthcare centers here in the North Texas area, and home to Midwestern State University.
There you go.
And Shepherd Air Force Base.
Very important. Indeed, and I assume even more important that even though you live so close to Dallas, you heard me say I'm from Philadelphia, so I'm assuming you're an Eagles fan.
No chance.
You're not in the blood, huh? Not in the blood. Right. Sorry about that. I had to put a little dig in there. Okay. Eagles.
That's okay.
Okay. What can I tell you? Corey, brag about Northern Cass.
Yeah, Northern Cass School District, like you said, 25 miles outside of Fargo, which is Fargo is about 150,000 people. We're actually a district, and we are literally located on four sides by cornfields. We're a consolidated district. We serve multiple little rural communities, and we are in our fourth year of a transition to full competency-based learning, where we're working to eliminate grade levels. We no longer have letter grades or percentages. And we're a district that's got a very, we think, a very innovative mindset that is really, really trying to become a district that's exceptionally flexible to meet kids exactly where they're at in their learning.
I love you for all that. That's just great stuff, I got to tell you. How long ago did that start?
Well, I've been here, this is year 8, but this is really our fourth full year of, like, working through this transformation.
And I must ask, how's it going? Okay, that's hard to do because school districts can be bureaucratic, teachers and unions and all that sort of stuff, and you know, administrators change. How's it going?
It's honestly, it's been fantastic for something where you tear things down to the foundation and start to rebuild.
Yep.
Our people have been supportive. They've been understanding, and they've been part of it. You know, they're helping make the decisions with us as we go. So it's really been, it's been wonderful. It's hard work, but it's been wonderful work.
That is great to hear. And Mike, back to you. How's things going this year? I know it's been a crazy year for every school district, what with COVID and everything. How things going with you down there in the school district of Wichita Falls, which again is Texas, not Kansas. My apologies.
Right. It's going really well. We've had pretty fortunate as far as low pandemic incidents, I guess you would say, compared to a lot of places around the country.
Yeah.
We've been in school full time, face to face. Since the beginning of this school year and most of last school year, and so things are going pretty well.
Oh, that is just excellent. And by the way, thank you both for attending the AASA Early Learning Cohort. Early learning is extremely important to us here. And I believe, if I may speak for my consortium for equity, that is the foundation of equity, okay, is
Agreed.
To give kids a good foundational education and so they can all start and get a good starting point at all of them at the pole position. And I think that's important. Okay, I'll go to Corey here. Let's go back to North Dakota here. Talk about your perspective on early learning and how it's working over in the Northern Cass.
When I got hired here, the board asked me to figure out like what we could do to start a pre-K program, early learning program. And over the course of the last 7 years, it went from 8 kids to now we have about 28 kids. We have 2 sections. We have 2 full-time, highly qualified educators along with 2 full-time paras in those rooms. The data and research behind the support has been significant in terms of getting kids that are up to grade level, ready for kindergarten and continuing on. It's really what we'll call a lot of times our gold star initiative at Northern Cass. And we always say early learning is getting every kid to the start line at the same time.
Everybody's got the pole position.
Line. Yeah, absolutely. And so for us, it's been a game changer in terms of giving families opportunities. We're a tuition-based, but we also have the ability to waive that and reduce, so we make sure that anybody who wants to be part of our program can be part of our program.
And may I ask, I'm going to ask the same questions of Mike, so you can answer that. Mike will have time to think about it, okay? How do you get the word out, okay? And I know, obviously, the kids have older brothers and sisters, but some people aren't yet connected to the school district. They've got kids who are 3 and 4 years old, and that's the oldest kid. How do you get the word out to them, if I may ask, Corey?
We've got to be very purposeful for that. And whether it is really pushing it out on our social media platforms, that's been a big push, whether it's through our newsletters that we're sending out to all patrons, it is a lot of times word of mouth through families. We do host a pre-K informational night. Any way possible, we're getting that out, using our local newspaper, just any way possible to get the word out, and then trying to get people in to answer questions and give them as much information as they need to make a decision on whether it's the right fit for their family.
And I hope it is the right fit. Mike, your thoughts on the same exact questions. How do you get the word out? How's early learning doing in Wichita Falls?
Well, our early learning program is kind of threefold or fourfold, I guess. We start with a parents as teachers program whenever parents or moms have babies and before they ever start in our schools. So we send certified educators into homes of about 120 families around our district. And so that's kind of where we start. But we also run our own Head Start program in pre-K. In our district, it just depends. So if a parent wants early childhood services for their children, we have something for them, whether it's Head Start, whether it's pre-K, or we do an at-home program called Upstart,
Waterford's Upstart? Is that Waterford's
Upstart? Right, Waterford's Upstart. Yeah, we've talked about that before.
My program.
We have something for everybody in Wichita Falls.
Yeah, you do. You do indeed. So you guys are both doing great jobs with your administrative team, with the teachers and faculty, et cetera. Okay, what was it, if I may, and Mike, I'll stick with you on this one, that tells you to go to an AASA early learning cohort? What's the purpose of you visiting there? All
right,
right. Talk about that.
So I've been a member of the cohort since 2017, and being a recovering middle school principal and a former high school teacher, I needed that perspective. I needed to see the light, and several of our cohort members were pre-K teachers or K teachers themselves, and so they bring that passion to our meetings. And so I was looking for something related to that because I felt we could do better and serve more families and like Corey said, get all our students to the starting line where they needed to be before they start school. And so so that the program's really been invaluable for me.
And that's really good. Corey, your thoughts on A, the program, and B, Mike brought up something interesting. All right. I don't know. Did you know a lot about pre-K before you became a superintendent? That brought up that question. You know, a lot of people come from middle school, high school. They're not familiar with pre-K yet. As a superintendent, you got to run that. And we all know the importance of pre-K. We can all say that. But you still have to learn how to run it, learn more about it. Where were you before you became superintendent? And then what prompted you to go over to the AASA cohort for early learning?
Yeah, I'm a secondary social studies teacher, and I was a secondary principal for many years. When I got here and they said, hey, you need to study pre-K and figure that out, that was like, I have no idea what that even means no idea what that looks like. So it was a lot of learn quickly and seeking out people that, you know, understood that and have been involved in that part of education. In terms of AASA, it's been my second year in the early learning cohort. And the part that's so great is you're around like-minded people who understand not only why it's important to extend pre-K opportunities, early learning opportunities, but also understand it's not just about getting them ready for kindergarten. It's about getting them ready for a happy, fulfilled, and self-actualized life. It's so much bigger than just what's in right in front of them the next year in terms of the academic side. It is that social-emotional learning piece.
It really is. And speaking of social emotional learning, we're very invested in it here. Just let me get into that. Has that created, and it did in some places, and I think it's because parents don't understand what it is. Okay, I think they're really in favor of it. Okay, just they need to be explained a little better. Okay, how social emotional learning, when you talk about that with parents and how important that is at a pre-K level, how's that go over, Corey?
You know, when we just redid our strategic plan about a year and a half ago, and it was really amazing. We had about 20 parents on there, and the biggest theme that came out of there was whole child learning, that our school
right.
needs
yeah.
to prepare the whole child. And social-emotional learning became what you know, at some point was a buzzword to be, this is just what we do here, and this is just who we are. And so we see people that I think people are starting to understand that this idea of content knowledge no longer drives our society and no longer can help us keep
yes.
up in a world that's changing exponentially. So we're seeing more and more of our parents that understand it. It's just necessary for any of our learners to be able to be successful down the road.
It really and truly is. Well said, my friend. Mike, did you have, as we talked about SEL, okay, you know, it was a little controversial earlier in the year. I think that was, again, I think parents with good intentions did not understand what it is. What did you have any controversy or anything on that, Mike?
No, not controversy, really. I do think it's very important. We have so many students that have had children, let's stick with children, that have had their lives turned upside down the last couple
oh, yeah.
years. And
yep.
And so I think they've come to us, especially our youngest learners, pre-K and K, have come to us with so many different stressors, trauma that they've experienced in their lives. And and so I think being in tune with that and paying attention to that is so important right now, and then also getting these students the help they need. And we learned that from
yeah.
the ACEs study and everything else that
yeah.
that it takes a caring adult to try to overcome some of those traumatic childhood experiences. And so our teachers and our staff are really working, I want to say overtime, but spending
yeah.
extra time focusing on those
yeah.
specific needs of children besides the learning and educational needs that we all know they have.
Yeah, I hope the world I hope the world appreciates all that the educators are doing, okay, to work with kids. That's all I'll say on that. Thank you both for your insight on that. What was your biggest takeaway, Mike, stay with me, from the early learning cohort this year? If there was one, what biggest comes to mind?
We had several, big-time think tanks were with us, the Hunt Institute, the Bezos Foundation, the Buffett Early Childhood, and they bring us research and they bring us data, and they really help us with, you know, with,
mm-hmm.
with working through all the issues
yeah.
related to early childhood. But this year, I think probably the biggest one was we had a new group with us this year, the Cook Center for Human Connections.
Oh,
and
good friends of mine. They're excellent
it's
friends of mine. Ann Brown.
Pretty
yeah.
awesome group. Ann Brown,
yeah.
correct.
Yeah, I love that.
And they were a new speaker for us, and really brought home this idea of kindness and the idea of, you know, in schools creating inclusive cultures, that type of stuff. So that probably for me was the biggest one.
Right. We work a lot with the Cook Center. Okay, and if you don't know about that, just I think it's cookcenter.org, but it's the Cook Center for Human Studies or some such thing.
Human Connections.
Thank you, Human Connections. I appreciate that. And they are big, if I may give them a plug, and I hate to even say these words, on suicide prevention in children, and like
yeah.
children anyone 18 or less. Okay? And that is a real challenge out there. So please, if you want to learn more about a subject and how you can really help kids on this, okay, Cook Center, cookcenter.org. Thank you for bringing them up. They're good friends of ours. Okay? Corey, what was your big takeaway?
Well, I would say a couple things. One, excuse me, one of those was exactly that, the Cook Center, and actually I was so impressed with them I connected them with our superintendent of public instruction at the state level and said this is a
oh,
group
good.
That could really help
is
our kids and benefit.
Is that Kirsten?
Yes, Superintendent Basler, yeah.
Yes, she's
yep,
great.
So
I
we
like
connected
her.
And they're yeah. going to have a meeting very soon to talk about how they could connect statewide. So that was certainly really powerful. And I think the other thing is anytime that you can go into to learning centers, into classrooms and see kids in action, it just reminds you of the power of it. And I think the thing we saw is I saw three-year-olds in a different light that I haven't. We've never done anything with three-year-olds other than some special education
wow.
services. And so it made us come back and say, I think there's a group of learners that we're not meeting their needs, and we need to reach out to our community and see how we can partner with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Did you get a sense? This is I'm asking the opposite question. As you talked to your fellow superintendents at the early learning cohort, and Corey, stay with me on this one. Did you get a sense that you were doing it right? Okay, I always talk about takeaways. Somebody gives you something, but actually, you guys are doing pretty good jobs in both districts. Okay, did you get a sense that you're doing it right? Corey, you can answer that one.
I mean, you always, like you said, you always want to go and grab things, and how do you make improvements? But I think one of the things, I brought my elementary principal with him. We walked away feeling very validated that, you know, if we're not doing something right now, we're having conversations on how to do that. But that we have a very, very robust program for where our size is and our location. So I did it. But I walked away thinking, certainly always room to grow, but felt really good about what I was hearing from others, because those are things that we're doing and things that we're thinking about.
Well, fantastic. Mike, how about you? Did you walk away feeling, yeah, we got this?
I don't know if we're ever confident that we've got it.
Yeah.
And like Corey said, we can definitely do better. I also brought my director of early learning and then Head Start principal and assistant principal with me to the event. And I think they were re-energized by hearing what other people are doing and applying that to our world, and we always learn something, because somebody's got a nugget or two that they're sharing that, hey, we could do that better. So yes, it was a great meeting, a good time to visit and network, and it always helps me organize my thoughts when I'm able
yeah.
to just focus
yeah.
on that area instead of all the other things that are going on in the district.
That's excellent. And I say to you, it is so darn important, Rick. I cannot emphasize that enough. That in every area of learning, okay, every area of learning.
Right.
Mike, you did not. They did a tour of the Dallas schools, some of the schools, and saw what they were doing in early learning. You did. Did you go on that one, Mike? I think it was just.
I did not. I was not able to attend. I had a board meeting.
That's okay. You're forgiven. Just send us a note. Send us
yeah.
a note signed by your mother, and you'll be fine. Okay? That's no problem. All right? Corey, did you go? You went.
Yeah, absolutely. We had a couple of chances to visit a couple buildings. We were scheduled for a third but couldn't do that due to, I think, a water line issue. It's amazing. One, you just see how passionate the educators are
yeah.
and how wonderful they're doing. You know, we come from – in North Dakota, we have we're not very diverse, so to hear – multiple dual language spoken was really wonderful to hear that. To see the love and commitment and dedication, and then just see, like, I love seeing kids who have nothing other but they just love learning, like they just engaged in it. It's honestly like that's what we need to get back to for our older kids, and you can just see it there.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Just talk about diversity for just a second. You know, when I've learned all over the country, there was pretty good diversity. I mean, I talked to districts in North Dakota, as a matter of fact, that have a lot of language challenges, you know,
mm-hmm.
with kids. Well, how was that with Corey? How was it in Northern Cass?
Yeah, I mean, for
in terms
us,
of diversity. And I know it's a like where I live in Maine,
yeah.
okay? It's not as diverse as, say, New York City or Dallas or whatever, but just in terms of what you have to deal with there in that regard.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, if there's anything that we lack, it is that. Probably very similar to Maine. You know, if you go into the metro area, again, 25 miles away, the languages spoken will go up. The population our African-American population, in Fargo, we have a big new immigrant population. We're one of the biggest resettlement areas
wow.
in the country. But that hasn't filtered out yet to Northern Cass. So
mm-hmm.
we always are trying to find ways, how do we expose our learners so when they get out in the world that they understand and are aware of different cultures and different people, so they're able to interact and learn from them as well as help them learn.
Right. It's really interesting. What's diversity like down there in Wichita Falls? I imagine it's a bigger town.
Yes, it's a little bit bigger. We're a majority minority school district, about 37% Hispanic, 12% African American, and we have, I think, 18 different languages spoken in our school district. We have a little bit of diversity, but I think our biggest diversity is probably economic diversity. So we have about, I guess, 68% or so of our students are on free and reduced lunch, and I have 9 campuses that are 90%+ free and reduced lunch. So it's a lot of diversity in our community, and that I think is a plus for us. And helping, you know, students to understand the world that they're going to live in is something we work on every day.
It is. And there's another side to that, and that is that when people come to a town from different cultures approach education differently.
Correct.
All right? And American education has always been handled one way, but now we have to deal with people from other cultures. All right, now I always use the example, you know, in many of the Latin cultures, okay, the Hispanic cultures, no one would dare approach a teacher about anything. No one would dare approach the school about anything. Okay, it's just unheard of. Where here we encourage that. All right, and to get early learning, to get people to understand they can send their child for early learning. Okay, if you're from an African culture or a Latino culture, that can be a difficult challenge. Did you either of you guys have any challenge with that? Okay, Mike?
During the pandemic, for sure. During the pandemic, it was a lot of, you know, fear and unknown, and it's just easier to keep your children at home. And so the largest group of our students that didn't come to school for the longest time during the pandemic or chose a virtual option were our low socioeconomic and students of color.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so hard. Anything up there, Corey? Over there.
It was a social economic status thing. Our kids that were lower, it was a struggle. It was having good access to high quality internet, so we would provide hotspots.
Yeah.
But it was just not having the infrastructure due to that we had to really work with them to help and assist. And they're proud people, so they don't want to ask for that. So
darn right.
You have to find a way to get your foot in the door in a way that doesn't make sure they understand that everybody's just a victim of circumstances and no one's fault for who they are or what conditions they're in at that point.
And I'll jump on that for a second. Is broadband going to improve with the American Rescue Plan and all that stuff, those dollars coming in North Dakota?
Yeah, I mean, I will say North Dakota, we're probably about 95% to 98% connected with broadband and high-quality internet. It's really good in our state. Our governor has been adamant about that, so it's really, really strong.
Excellent. How about Wichita Falls? Although I understand that even if you get broadband, they're not going to put Cowboys games on. Is that correct, Mike?
that would not be correct.
Yeah, well,
we have an initiative, and it's kind of been going across the state to try to increase connectivity because even in Wichita Falls, we have some connectivity deserts. That don't have access. And so in the city of, we're in pretty good shape. But out, as soon as you get out in the rural areas around us, there are lots of places. And so we're currently doing, we have a countywide study we're working on right now trying to come up with some funds related to that. So, yes.
Yeah, the more the merrier. I got to tell you, but you guys need to take the time to go to work with your AASA, the School Superintendent Association. You go to the early learning cohort, and I'll tell you, this is going to pay off so strongly 5-10 years from now, 2 years from now, when these kids go into kindergarten and fourth grade. You know, and you've both been doing it for a while. Are the teachers in the early grades seeing a difference right off the bat? I just got to ask that before we leave, Corey.
Yeah, 100%.
Do they see a difference from early learning?
100%. You will hear it because we won't share who those learners are, and they'll say, "Oh, I can tell this was from Mrs. Nelson or Mrs. Bosch's early childhood concern." They know it, and it's again, it's not just the academic part; it's the social emotional part too.
Yeah, the kids are ready for school. Mike, how about the reaction from your early grades teachers? Not beyond the early learning.
Yep. Our focus has definitely been on early learning for the last several years, and so that they've seen an increase in staff, you know, supporting that area with a new director of early learning a couple of years ago, and our resources that we spent on that. I'm a big proponent of spending money early versus having to spend it late, because we get a lot more bang for our buck if we put it into our early learning programs versus our credit recovery and remediation programs later in school. You don't get as much bang for your buck. So early childhood definitely matters most.
It really does. Like, I don't know if you guys ever saw the old Fram oil filter commercial. They used to say, you can pay me now $299 for an oil filter, or you can pay me $4,000 for a new engine later. Okay. Yeah,
exactly
maybe
right.
Now or maybe,
absolutely
yeah,
correct.
More bang for the buck, without question. It's unbelievable. Gentlemen, you're doing good. I wish you both happy holidays and a great start of the year next year. It's good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank
pleasure.
You so much. Have a great day.
Take care, Court.
Be good, guys.
Thank you,
stay
too.
Stay safe.
Sure.
Bye.
Yep, bye.
Okay. All the way from Northern Cass. Okay. School district just outside Fargo, North Dakota. Corey Steiner, superintendent. And from Wichita Falls, Texas, okay, Mike Kurt, who is the superintendent down there. Thank you, AASA, AASA.org. Okay, you want to learn what superintendents are doing, go over there. They're pretty busy people. Okay, and they have a lot of these cohorts designed for sections of education to give superintendents the opportunity to see the whole spectrum of education, early learning just being one of them. We'll archive at a-ed.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.